Hey there, it's Vicky here from Online Marketing Basics for Busy Website Owners, and welcome to this episode of the podcast where I was delighted to be able to interview former journalists and now PR pros, Michelle and Christian Nguyen, a husband and wife team, who I've been admiring from afar online for the past year. And they've spent decades writing stories that have been featured in some of the biggest newspapers in the UK. You know, like The Guardian, The Times, The Telegraph, The Mirror, all of that. And now they're running their own business called Write on Time, to help their ideal customers get publicity, essentially. So they've taken all of their experience and put it into this business, providing free challenges and toolkits and resources to help people think of things that are newsworthy, that would help them get publicity in some of those big newspapers. I mean, Michelle and Christian got themselves in the Metro last week. I saw it with my own eyes. They definitely walk the walk and talk the talk with, you know, their insight into how you can get PR for your small business. And if you've listened to the podcast before, or you've been part of my membership, you know how much I rate PR as a way of helping you raise your profile online, particularly from an SEO point of view, right? The better the backlink that you can get to your website, the higher domain authority you could potentially get. Right. So I asked Michelle and Christian for a chat to hopefully get some great advice from them. And they delivered, by the way, in this chat. It's full of lots of useful things that you'll be able to take away and action on your own. Right. but also, we had a good discussion about the benefit of PR for SEO as well. And I'm always a bit wary of scaring non-SEO people off with a bit of tech chat, but Michelle and Christian were well up for it. In fact, they were well up for the entire interview, and I was just so amazed of how lovely they were. And I think by the time you get to the end of this episode, you will feel the same. So grab a paper and pen or your phone to take notes as usual. And I'll see you at the end of this episode. I'm Vicky Jakes, and in this podcast, I'm aiming to bring you no-nonsense advice on how to drive more traffic to your small business website so that you can start making more money. It will be packed full of hints and tips, jargon-free, and a chance for us to geek out together on a weekly basis. Let's crack on with this week's episode. Michelle and Christian, thank you so much for joining us here on Online Marketing Basics for Busy Website Owners. I'll just let our listeners know a little bit about you. Michelle and Christian are part of the Write on Time team, and they help business owners become better, more confident at pitching to get in the press. And I'm delighted that you guys have joined me today to come and chat about PR, because it's a subject that we have actually talked about a few times in the Supercharger website membership and also here on this podcast, because I have seen the benefit that PR can have for small business owners and it can have for their visibility online. So welcome, guys. How are you doing?
Thank you very much.
We're really good. We're dead happy to be here. Sorry, I went very northern then. I started off saying dead.
We are northern.
Very, very
own
happy
it
to be here. So thank you so much for welcoming us.
Yeah.
And can you tell us a little bit about Write on Time then? How long have you guys been Write on Time, and how long have you been doing PR stuff? I mean, give us the origin story of how you got to this moment in time.
Backstory.
The backstory. Yeah.
Would you like to take it away, and I can
maybe embellish or try and add in any details which may have been forgotten in the annals of time, perhaps. Yes, yeah, we have a go.
Listeners can probably tell we're a husband and wife team. So we actually met each other working in real life newsrooms.
Many years ago.
Key decisions about what stories were published and printed. We were on an adjoining desk, and much like Lois and Clark, we fell in love in the newsroom. So that was way, way, way back in 2004. We started dating.
That's right.
And then we kind of both went off on our own journeys, doing PR for the public sector in my case and the private sector in Christian's case. And then we almost came full circle. And back in 2017, we set up Right on Time Limited. And basically, we have pivoted yet again following the COVID pandemic, because we used to do PR for people. And now we teach people how to do their own PR.
Yeah, we've become mentors in many respects as a result of the pandemic. Yeah,
I mean, totally get that. I used to make websites for people and do their things, and now I show them how to do it. I went down that path because I found it much more rewarding to help people help themselves. Is that the same case for you guys?
100%. Honestly, Vicky, the feeling that we get each time we have a person or people, you know, business owners coming into our world, and they go through one of our free 5-day challenges, for instance, which we've run 4 of those now, or they commission us to give them some strategic learning. They then go away, implement what we have taught them, and the results that they get when they share them with us is an unbelievable feeling. The only thing that I can liken it to, although I would say for us now it's overtaken it, is the very first feeling as a professional writer when you get your first ever byline in a newspaper. So as a reporter, that day when you have your first ever article published, you know, for real, and it's got your name on it, that's an unbelievable feeling. But what we're doing now and seeing other people get those results, I think personally has trumped that.
Yeah,
I really,
definitely.
Really do. It's an amazing feeling.
And I think the most beautiful curve is when someone comes into our world feeling very low in confidence and unsure about how to get visible. And then we see them go through this gradual snowballing of confidence where they get in the local paper, and then the regional, and then the national, and each time they level up, their confidence grows with that. And we get like messages in our inbox all the time, like, oh, I've got a newspaper column, or I'm on the radio, or I'm on TV, I've been signed up for a podcast. And every time we get one of those messages, it's like a really lovely burst of energy for us.
Yeah, it just absolutely solidifies everything about why we do what we do. And it makes us feel fantastic about the decision we made, which was to pivot, you know, as a result of the pandemic. And now we feel like we're on a journey that we were actually destined to be on. That is very much how it feels, to just be helping as many people as we possibly can by showing them, teaching them what we know.
I mean, that's awesome. I love that. And yeah, it's infectious, your enthusiasm for that as well. Tell us a little bit about 2004 then. What newsrooms were you working in then?
It wasn't
because I used to be in publishing, right? So I have worked in. I used to work for the same company that did PR News, Newsweek. Like Design Week and Creative Review. I've also worked on titles like The Engineer Magazine and Subcontract
Glamour,
Engineering,
Vicky,
all the glamour. Yeah, so I feel like I know the corporate publishing world quite well. But what were you guys doing back then?
So we were working for NewsQuest. That was our big media group. So the newspaper, we were actually part of Guardian Series newspapers. So we were working on local newspapers. So we're from, as we said, we're from the north. So we live in Warrington, Cheshire. So at the time when Michelle and I met, I was working on the Warrington Guardian. I hadn't recently graduated from university. So that was my first job in newspapers. I went straight into that job from graduating. Michelle won't mind me mentioning, she's a few years older, older. So she already had her career well and truly cemented. She had been working over in Wirral, which is in Merseyside, for people obviously over the water from Liverpool. So then she came over to Warrington, and then that was where we met. That was in 2004. And she actually came in to head up the department that I was a member of. So for a while, she was actually my manager, which was quite interesting.
It's all coming out now, Vicky.
Yeah, so she was actually my boss for,
About 2 years.
And then we were just friends, honestly, for the first couple of years. And then So that would have been actually 2002 or three, wouldn't it? But it was in 04 we actually started dating officially, and we thought we were being really cool and clever by keeping it a secret. But when you work in the newsroom, everyone knew. We already know. Photographers snapping pictures of us in the park holding hands and that type of thing, which really did happen, by the way. They put it up on a notice board to say, we know what's going on here, guys. But they were fantastic about it. And we just kept wholly professional at all times when we were in the newsroom and cracking on with what we needed to do.
Sure. So, I mean, things have changed quite a lot since 2004, right? You know, I mean, I watched at Centaur Publishing where I was, and then I went to EMAP, which became Bauer. So all the print titles slowly retire and everything move online. And that's very much the case of like some of the PR agencies I've worked with in my corporate career over the years as well, because I'm kind of ex-marketing agency, is again, saw it all go from print to online. How have things changed since 2004 compared to when you kicked off Right on Time?
It's huge. Yeah. I think we've seen the rise of business owners taking control of their own PR destiny. I don't think people necessarily feel they have to employ a PR team because there is, with social media, there's a much more license to actually have a direct relationship with a reporter without an intermediary. So we, obviously on Twitter, the hashtag journal request is the hashtag that national journalists and regional journalists use to collate case studies for stories that they're actively working on.
Yep.
And there is no reason why any business owner can't put their hand up to be one of those case studies. So it can be a much more straightforward relationship to connect with a reporter and get coverage for your business. And social media has definitely gained traction in the, you know, over the past 20 years.
But
it is what it is.
But we're seeing people who literally are reaching out to a journalist through social media and then having national coverage for their business. So it's kind of, and also we've obviously seen the rise of citizen journalism, where people are setting up their own YouTube channels and podcasts and magazines. So it's not always just the traditional media gatekeepers anymore that have got the platforms for visibility. There are so many more blogs and platforms out there now where people can get coverage.
Yeah. And I just think, in addition to that, from a professional standpoint, in terms of how journalists actually operate now in the world of social media, If I was graduating now, I would be expected as part of the job role to know a lot, to have a lot more different skills and functions. So reporters now, it's very common for them to be extremely, for instance, digital media writing. They have many, many skills, whereas back in when I was doing it, which I graduated in 2003, it was still quite, you know, notepad in hand, the roving report, and all you had to do was sort of come back and focus on doing the writing side of stuff. But what I've noticed now with the younger reporters and the new generation coming through, they are certainly multi-skilled. They really, really are.
Yeah.
They've got no social media. They've got no, they're probably writing their own blog. They probably got to understand analytics, data analysis. Absolutely, like how to network online.
Video production, honestly, all kinds, you know, recording techniques, you know, even having more of a photographic knowledge, because it was very much part of it when we were there that the photographers took care of all of that. So I do think now the younger reporters coming through, they are massively multi-skilled, which is a huge credit to them. But in our time, as it were, we were very much more just focused on delivering the writing, doing the copy, you know, the editorial, and that was pretty much what we did. And then it was handed over then to other people that did the more design side of stuff. So I just think it was important to mention that the culture of a journalist has changed as well, in terms of what their disciplines actually are. They're much more multifaceted these days. They're not just writers. They're actually very, very rounded in what they do and how they go about the business.
And I would add on to that, that's why you have to have a very clear idea of what your story is when you approach them, because the days when journalists could, you know, kick back and have a chit chat and finish at 12 o'clock on a Friday are long, long gone.
Yeah, it doesn't exist anymore.
But due to the pressures on journalists now, you have to get very skilled very quickly at being able to get to the absolute point of your story, the absolute point of your pitch, and you will stand much, much better chance of success of getting that published than if you kind of go to them with a woolly idea that they've got to spend time unpicking.
Yeah. The appetite for news and the impacts of news and the swiftness of it is more unprecedented now than ever before.
Yeah,
certainly
breaking news all the time.
Breaking news. I mean, certainly in 18 years, which it's been since I graduated, 18 years, the change is phenomenal now in terms of just, it's just instant. The news is just coming as quickly as literally as me clicking my fingers, there's news coming out. So you really have to be on the ball with that regard. And that's why the reporters have to be so multi-skilled in order to meet that demand.
That's great observations. I mean, I can safely say, like, having worked in Soho in London for a long, like a big stretch of my career, that the pubs definitely emptied over time.
They did.
As the pressures, like at lunchtimes, as the pressures kind of increased. And yeah, definitely, like, a lot of people in publishing were more switched on out of work than they ever were before because of that 24-hour news rolling.
It's very true. You probably come up with all your best headline ideas down the pub and stuff like that, to be honest. Yeah. It's, you know, that's kind of when you're sort of thinking through your next lot of stories. But yeah, that culture is very, very much changed in like the past 20 years or so. Yeah, definitely.
So with that in mind then, like, what is the point of PR today in 2021? Because, you know, if it's so democratic, you know, a business owner can go, well, I can just go and start a blog online, or I can just post on my social media. Like, why do they have to incorporate the concept of PR? And perhaps you can, just before you answer that, just sort of give us an outline of, like, for the listeners, like, what PR is as well.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Of course. So PR is essentially visibility. So if you need more eyeballs on your business, if you need more people to know who you are and what you do and how they can buy from you, the values basis behind your business, then PR is all about amplifying your message, bringing more eyeballs to your business, more people knowing how they can engage with you, what you stand for. So it's kind of amplifying things beyond your own social media reach. So obviously, as the owner of your own Facebook page or your own Instagram or TikTok, you can pump content out 24/7 if you choose to. But there's still something so, so special when another agency, another media outlet chooses to feature you, especially when it's not an advertising relationship. You've not spent any money with them, but they're choosing to give over some of their space to feature you in your business.
Real estate, basically.
Their real estate. Yeah. That is so, so valuable for your credibility, particularly in trade publications. If you want to get known to be the go-to person in your industry, having thought leadership articles and a regular presence in trade publications is really, really important. And every industry has its own, what we call, like, a Bible. There will be like a Bible of every industry where the space is still competitive, where there's still lots of pitches going in. So when you're chosen, it's really special.
Yeah.
And it's also part of your mental health toolkit, because anytime you are recognized for what you do, anytime you feel more credible, more kind of confident,
validated,
then you are going to perform better as a business owner. It will change how people look at you and how you feel about yourself. So in terms of visibility, credibility, ultimately, if you can crack those two key cornerstones, then your business will become more profitable, because there'll be more people who know what you do. You're going to be feeling really good about yourself, and then you're going to step forward on your business plan and get those gains and level up.
Yep. So essentially what you're saying, right, is that PR is more relevant than ever, especially now when the marketplace is so crowded, when, like we were talking about with 24-hour and rolling news, news outlets need to put blog posts, content out every hour, essentially.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
if you want to be seen, you've got to try and get your head above that noise, right?
Absolutely. And it's about being seen in the right way as well, because, I mean, there are still, for instance, a lot of laws exist around the media in terms of things like libel and, you know, defamation and things like that. So a lot of people sometimes choose to work with a PR company because, more often than not, they are ex-journalists, which is certainly the case with us too. And we've been through all of the requisite training to learn those sorts of things. You know, things regarding public affairs is really important. Stakeholder engagement, reputational management, they're things that myself and Michelle have done as part of our own respective careers before we formed the company. So having a person in your corner who's an expert when it comes to promoting yourself in the right way, where you're not going to fall foul of certain pitfalls, as it were, is absolutely crucial, because in this day and age, people have that ability to just put things out there, but then they can, with hindsight, maybe look at it and think, well, that isn't quite how I wanted to do it, or is there a way that maybe I should have sought some advice,
or it goes
viral for the wrong reason, something like that, and then it's very difficult then to, once Pandora's box has been opened, you're then trying to get everything back inside. It can be very difficult. So that's more of a safeguarding kind of thing around PR, but that is also a very vital asset of why working with people in the industry, or why you should be doing it, is important, because you can learn to do it in the right way so that you're being visible in the way that you wish to be. And you've got full control over your destiny with that, in terms of how you go about doing it, whether that's through research or whether you want to go on challenges and courses to learn those skills for yourself.
I mean, you're preaching to the choir here, right? Because as someone who's been working in a search engine optimization for many, many years, I know the power of, I know the power that PR can bring to raising your visibility or with search, Google, right? When we say search on this podcast, we basically mean Google, right? There's other ones, but no one knows what they're called anymore, right? But Google absolutely loves links, right? And it loves links that have a high domain authority. So the higher that authority, the more likely Google is to associate you with the site with that authority. For example, if you get a link back, or a backlink, as it's known in the industry, from the BBC News website to your website, Google is going to be like, oh, you must be authoritative then if they're linking back to you, and you'll increase your domain authority. So it's got that extra way of being seen online via search, like that extra benefit by getting seen by Google in that way. So can you give us some ideas for how small businesses, or business in general actually, can be seen better online using PR? Like what kind of advice have you got for listeners here for things that they could be empowered to go out and try?
Of course.
Great question.
It is. And I just want to very briefly add something that people might not necessarily realise, but when you want to be verified on social media, so if you're craving that blue tick on your profile that so many people want, the first question you're asked from Facebook is to share links to your media coverage, because they want to know, have you been in Forbes? Have you been in Medium? Have you been in national press? Because that's part of their check-in process.
Yeah.
So that's another reason that if you do want to get that blue tick on your social profile, then media is a key component of that strategy.
It's the same with Wikipedia as well, right?
Yeah.
You can't get referenced back without any type of press. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
So that's really key for anyone who wants to get that official credibility.
No problem.
In terms of things you can do, the biggest mistake that people make when it comes to PR is being led by a sales strategy. So they think, I want to sell my program, I want to sell my course, I want to sell my services, I want to sell my product. And they lead when they pitch to the press with what is effectively a sales message. Now, anytime you do that, the first thing a reporter's going to do is put you through to the advertising team and ask you to spend some money.
Which could be several hundred pounds.
So the average advert in the UK is between £300 and £500 to appear in a publication. So that's a big old chunk of cash. And then if you think of something like the National Guardian, it can be literally tens of thousands of pounds.
Depending on how big the advert is as well.
Yeah.
So if you're taking out a quarter page ad, then that's going to be cheaper than a half page. But if you're looking for a full page ad, you could be spending a lot of money.
A lot of money.
Yeah.
So first things first, think of PR as part of an exciting marketing strategy that's actually going to reduce your costs and at the same time improve your credibility. So that's why PR can be so valuable. So what we always say is have a people first approach. So when you are pitching story ideas to the press, always put people at the heart of your business, because it's the people that the reporter will engage with. So whether it's you as a business owner, another business that you're partnering with, or your customers and clients, putting the people at the front of your story will always convert better than focusing on the product or the sales aspect. And we do have like 20 ideas, 20 different story ideas of how people can kind of pitch to the press. But some of the core ones that are perennially popular are what we call, and this is just a name that we use, X turned X. So what did you used to do and what do you do now? Because people love that story of how you became the person you are today. And the wonderful thing about that particular story is it's a really good showcase for your why, because most people have a strong sense of why when they go into a business. So they might have been through a personal life challenge or recognize that they want to contribute to a fairer society or a different kind of work ethic or process. So the X turned X is a really good vehicle for showcasing your why. And it's something that journalists love to talk about because people are naturally curious. It's everybody's dream to kind of quit the corporate role and strive out on their own steam. So hearing from other entrepreneurs and normalizing that is usually a really good story idea.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And as Michelle said, you know, that's a resource that we created for free for people to be able to download and have access to give them a starting point of where they can begin to think about credible and genuine newsworthy story ideas, which are as old as time. They are angles that reporters know, like, and trust. And then it's just a case of presenting it in the correct way in order to then get those reporters onto the end of your hook, get them convinced that it's a compelling story, and then show them then that you're ready to be featured in their publication or a podcast or news program or whatever it is that you're targeting.
And anybody who wants access to that download, you can get it from our website, which is writeontime.co.uk.
Yeah.
I love that, because when you say it out loud, it makes total sense. And it seems like a no-brainer, right? Is that actually, like, stories are very people-focused. But it just takes you to kind of point it out and say, this is what is still happening in terms of stories that journos pick up on. But look, like, I'm going to have people listening to this going, this is all very well, Vicky, Christian and Michelle, but how do I actually pitch to a journalist? Where on earth do these strange people live? And how on earth do I get in contact with them? Because, you know, that side of things is probably what stops a lot of people trying to push out their amazing stories of transformation or their people first approach stories. So what tips can you give to the listeners to get started?
Okay, so I'm going to give you three simple tips to just get cracking with this. So the first one is to check out the hashtag journo request, JOURNOREQUEST. That's journo request on Twitter. Now, this is the hashtag that national journalists, broadcasters,
producers,
people who create the press that we see on a daily basis, they use this to appeal for case studies. So that's people who can offer them a relevant insight to a story that they're currently working on. It's completely free of charge. This isn't going to cost you a penny. We did one recently, and the two of us ultimately ended up with a huge article in the Metro newspaper, which referenced our business. And again, as I say, it didn't cost us a single penny to do that.
So for SEO purposes, doing a search right on time,
that would be a fantastic credibility and that kind of thing. So
had our name in there, you know, our names, what we do, that type of thing. So again, going back to, obviously, because we're talking about how you're raising your profile with SEO, that was a massive coup. And that is very much the case how it can be for other business owners who utilize PR and harness it in the right way as well.
So that's our first tip. So hashtag journal quest
is a big one.
The second one we would recommend is Lightbulb. And just to say, we're not affiliated to Lightbulb in any way, shape or form. We recommend it just because we see people get great results from it.
We've had a lot of people tell us through word of mouth that it's a good resource. Yeah,
it is. Yeah. So Lightbulb is a hangout for entrepreneurs and journalists. And basically, just very similar to Journo Request, journalists will say, I'm working on this type of story. Is anyone here relevant to this particular topic, got something of interest to say? And then you can go ahead, take that conversation forward, and then ultimately that can result in press coverage. And that's worked really well for quite a few business owners that we personally know. It costs about £5 a month. So if you think about it, it's less than the cup of a cup of coffee, just to find out about key you know, we're not talking local press here either. We're talking like national opportunities for glossy women's magazines, that kind of thing. So we do always recommend Lightbulb. And then the third thing that we always recommend is just really coming to this with a analysis of your own comfort. Okay.
Yeah.
So we talk about the comfort curve, comfortability curve. So knowing your own strengths. So if you are a person who is quite happy to talk and quite happy to be seen on camera, then broadcast type opportunities should be where you invest your energies. Conversely, if you are a person who's quite reluctant to be on camera, or you don't like the sound of your voice, or you're a person who's quite reflective and you can't necessarily think of things on the spot, then it's really helpful to perhaps invest your energies on the written medium or the written format, where you've got time to go away and craft a pitch and really put it together on your own terms and in your own time. So recognizing your own PR personality, as it were, is a really good way to get started.
Yeah.
Because if you go in there thinking, well, I'll have to be on the sofa with Holly, and or, you know, I have to be on the cover of Forbes and anything less is not good enough, then you are perhaps not going to put the time and energy in there that it takes to get cracking with PR. Start smaller, start in your comfort zone, and then you can expand out of that.
Yeah, because you're already starting to put self-imposed restrictions on yourself, and you're putting yourself under undue pressure, in our opinion. And what we find with the comfortability curve is when people start to, once they've identified where they are on the curve, with confidence and with time, they gradually go towards doing the other things which maybe they wouldn't have remotely considered.
Sure.
So, for example, we've known people that have wanted to very much start out as being writers. You know, they just want to do the written side of things, but then they have gradually improved in terms of their own confidence and grown and thought to themselves, well, now I would like to embrace the opportunity of doing a radio show. But if you'd have spoken to that person several months prior, the thought of doing a radio show would have been as far away as you could possibly imagine.
Yeah.
So the comfortability curve is something that we're invested in as PR professionals, because we know that it works. It's just about thinking smartly about it and playing to your strengths. That's how I always describe it, because why would you put yourself in a position to do something that you know that you're going to either hate it, or it's going to put you in a place of anxiety or stress, which is something that we always want to work towards, you know, making sure that that does not happen for people. So it's important to have a bit of a stretch. You know, it is important to have a comfort zone and stretch it to a little bit, but we try and do it in a way and teach people that you can do it where the stretch is manageable. It's not going to put you in a place of overwhelm. You know, we don't want that for anybody. So it's about looking at where you are now, where you'd like to get to, and then taking those tentative steps, do it piece by piece and step by step. Do it slowly. Don't put yourself under too much pressure, and then you will inevitably get to where you want to get to. We've seen it happen time and time again.
So I've got a poser then for you guys, right? Can anyone from any type of business get PR? Because I've had conversations with people in the past. What comes to mind is an industrial cleaning supplier, right?
Yeah.
And I remember having conversations with them where they said, nobody would want to cover what I have to sell or what I have to say, right? But just based on all of the things that you've been talking about, right?
Yeah.
And particularly the phrase you just mentioned, Christian, which is like, think smart, right? Is that you wouldn't be going to pitch to a journalist about your latest industrial cleaning product.
Yeah.
You're
going to talk about a people first approach, right?
Yeah.
But like, putting that to you guys, what would you recommend to a business, not necessarily industrial cleaning products, but a business who might say to you, no one wants to talk about what I do?
Well, yeah. What I can say, Vicky, is we heard that so many times.
Yeah,
we actually created a project called She Can 365, because it's sometimes it's predominantly female entrepreneurs
that
struggle with this sense of I haven't got a story.
And we're not saying that as an absolute concrete fact. We're saying that based purely upon our own experience.
So what we did was we interviewed 365 female entrepreneurs over 365 consecutive days and told every single story in 365 words. And the She Can 365 blog went on to win Best Blog of 2020 and then ultimately became a book. And the reason we did that, because we wanted to prove that no matter what background you come from, no matter what you sell, whatever your business is, there is something of interest within that that you can talk about. And what I would say is, as a tip, because you know we hear it all the time, people are like, oh, I'm only a dry cleaner, or you know, I'm a lab technician, who cares about that? So don't focus on what you do, focus on how you make people feel. What are the outcomes that you deliver for people? Because if you're an industrial cleaning company, there is going to be some outcomes there that are life improving for somebody at some point down the line. So don't think about the equipment or the process or the very sort of pragmatic, practical approach to the work that you do. Think about how you make people and what the end gains are. And that is where the story will lie.
Yeah. And if there's people listening who are sort of thinking or shrugging the shoulders or maybe scratching the heads and thinking, well, that's all very well, but ultimately I want to sell my products. The way that you've got to look at it is that you need to tell your story first in order for people to get to know, like, and trust you, because people buy from people. So if a person reads about your journey and they've struck an emotional resonance, or you've struck a chord with them because you do something in a way that means something to them. I mean, it could be that you do what you do because of a life circumstance, or it could be that, you know, you could be a huge advocate for a particular charity or something like that. So you could be an industrial cleaner who happens to give lots of money away to a cat charity, and you've maybe never publicized that. And then a person reads that you do that, and you might think, wow, well, here's a person who cares about a cause as much as I do. The next time that I'm in the market for that particular product, I'm going to be thinking about them front and center. So you have to think of it as, you know, the long game. You know, you have to you can't approach it, as Michelle said earlier in the chat, about it's just about, you know, buy, spend, you know, sell. It's got to be a newsworthy story, because in order for it to have its own legs and for it to be considered by a reporter, it has to have a newsworthy angle to it 100% anyway. But there's not been a person yet that we've met who, when we get talking to them, they haven't got something that they could be talking about and sharing. But it's just about then doing it in a way where you have the technique and the confidence to proceed. But that is definitely the right tips that Michelle mentioned there about how you can get started. So you need to think about striking that relationship with the person first through the press, and then those people will inevitably come to you to buy. I just don't want people listening and thinking, well, if you're just telling a story, then that might not lead to instant sales. You have to build that up over time, and then people will remember you.
And what I would say, just to add to that, is if you do have a business that is, you know, not as kind of glamorous as other industries, in some ways PR is even more important, because you might operate under the radar. Nobody really knows who you are and what you do, so how can you recommend
them? They may not understand it.
So it really pays to take the time to kind of make what you do accessible for the person on the street. Then you can become more searchable, more recommendable, and ultimately start to understand your own worth as well. Move away from these kind of terms of I only do this or I just do that, and actually recognize that you're providing a really valuable service that offers important outcomes for people.
I love that. So not just talking about your business, but perhaps the industry that you work in, and building awareness around that can also be a really important part of the PR work that you do as well.
You've just used an absolute golden word there that we were going to get to as well. Now, when you said the word awareness, that is a huge, huge thing with PR, because one of the other things that we do and that we encourage people to do is to look at awareness days, which are coming up on the calendar. And you can tie in your products or your service, what you do and how you go about it, with a relevant awareness day. And that is another great way of pitching a story at a time where it's current and relevant, that is going to set up a really authentic dialogue with reporters, because you're talking about something that's happening here and now. It puts a bit of a time frame on it as well. So we say that often that a story, well, this is the bit, you always say this bit, yeah, so it's part of our catchphrase.
A story that can be told at any time is often told at no time.
Yeah.
So it's important to give a reporter a reason to talk about what it is you want to say. So awareness days are a really good quick tip for that as well.
Yeah, just when Vicky said the word awareness, I thought we need to mention that, because that raising awareness of things through days that are relevant is a brilliant way of boosting your PR strategy.
Well, I mean, I was going to add to that as well, is that just raising awareness of your brand is just so amazingly good for SEO, because Google's very much focused on brand over keywords, you know. So if you can repeat and get your name, your business name associated with those keywords, you're more likely to go up the domain rankings and search engine result rankings than if you just relied on kind of industry specific keywords. We're going to start winding up in a bit, but can you guys give us a few more? Can I squeeze a few more tips? I mean, there's so much gold already in this chat. I mean, we've talked already about like leveraging awareness days, telling your story. You mentioned kind of using the journal request hashtag. I mean, is it still worth it in this day and age to put a press release out when there's kind of big news happening?
Yeah, and that's what we kind of make the focus of our programs and also our free 5-day challenges, is teaching people the actual technique of pitching, because you can't just kind of slap a few words down on an email and hope for the best with a reporter. You need to learn how to use language that they can associate with, that feels relevant for them and gives them what they need. So the last thing you want to do is create more work for a reporter.
Yeah.
So being able to kind of give them key information right off the bat is really helpful in terms of creating a positive relationship with them. So we always use a quick formula. It's day one of journalism school. First thing you learn when you rock up as a reporter is the 5 W using the H. So who, what, why, where, when, and how. So anytime you're crafting a pitch to a reporter, make sure you explain who is doing what, when, where, why, and how. And that are the key components of any storytelling that you want to do, whether it's on a social media post or a blog, but specifically for press journalism.
Yeah.
They will want to know that information.
That's all they require. They don't need a 2,000 word backstory or anything like that.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that with the greatest of respect to people. You know, reporters just need they just need the facts. They just need to know what is your story about. And it's really important as well to make sure that the story has a natural beginning, middle, and an end. I know it sounds obvious to say it, but what you don't want is a pitch that goes off in 20 different directions with a load of tangents and, you know, dead ends and that type of thing. It just needs to be one succinct, very, very sharply focused, realized pitch about one idea that you have, one angle that you have. And then if you just take them off again, and I'll say them solely for people. So who is doing what? Where is it being done? When is it being done? Why are you doing it? And how are you going about it? So it's the 5 W's and the H: who, what, where, when, why, and how. And that is a really strong formula to use for pitching purposes and structuring press releases. As Michelle said, that is journalism school pretty much summed up on your first day of how one approaches writing a story.
Yeah. So it's what is important to think about is what can you do to make yourself the easiest, funniest person to work with for the reporter. So as reporters, we've seen people who will like copy and paste an entire blog and just send it over to us and say, can you use this? Or people will send like the about us section from their website and not make any effort to tailor it to what they're pitching. So don't kind of think, what's the quickest thing I can do for me?
Yeah, don't take shortcuts.
Think it's, how can I make this an easy yes for the reporter?
Push it. Treating the reporter there with respect as well, because you're actually giving them something that they can use, and you're not you're not putting the pressure on them for them to unpick it for 20 minutes to work out what your story is about. The responsibility is very much on you to know what your story is about and then to present it in a way there that a reporter can digest it at a glance and then make a decision based upon editorial judgment as to whether or not it will be commissioned. So the easier you can make the process, the more likely you are to get a yes from that reporter.
And if you don't get a yes, just keep trying, right?
Just keep trying. We always say, like, if you wrote a Facebook post and nobody liked it, you wouldn't like shut down your Facebook business page and burn your laptop, would you? You just wouldn't.
People,
bit dramatic.
Bit like people get too attached to the single story idea. It's trusting in yourself that you can have regular ideas and you can communicate them effectively. Because what might work for one reporter might not work for another and vice versa. And it's about being consistent, which is the cornerstone of any successful marketing strategy.
Persistent and consistent.
Yeah. So if you are indeed putting together a Facebook post or an email to customers or a blog, just have that little sense check. Is this something that there's perhaps a story idea that could work for the press? Likewise, can you put 5 minutes aside each day just to check out journal requests? It's just taking these little steps. So don't make PR something you do like once a year on the first week of June and then forget about it.
It's not a bucket list thing.
It's not a bucket list ambition. It's not something you're just looking to tick off. It's an actual smart choice to market your business. Because ultimately, if you could get an article in The Guardian, the National Guardian, or you know, a glossy woman's magazine or a trade publication, how much credibility would that bring you? How much more light speed could that move your business on versus just plugging away at daily social media posts that you're just speaking to the same audience over and over and over again? So we always say that if you want to level up, if you want to become more credible, then investing time in PR is key.
And the beauty of it then as well, Vicky, is when you do, for instance, get coverage in a glossy lifestyle magazine or a national newspaper, it can then very much become part of your own branding as seen in. So you'll see a lot of people out there who will have a section on their website, for instance, where they've got a little media hub, where they've got all of their clippings on there loaded up, or articles and links and things. And then you'll have all the little logos, you know, Forbes and BBC, Cosmo, wherever it is that they've appeared. That's another really, really important part of your strategy, because when people are searching you online or they're going onto your website and they can see that you've featured in all these very credible publications, they're going to think, wow, you know, I'm looking at a person here who is not only really good at what they're doing, or, you know, in terms of they're being validated for that by the press, you know, they're being featured in things based upon their own merits. So it's just another really powerful way of amplifying your own image and the exposure, and having the confidence to let people know about that. You know, if you do get in somewhere like Forbes, why wouldn't you want to shout about that to people? Because there's a credibility attached to that. There's a desirability attached to that. And that is going to ultimately look very appealing to customers if they're looking to make a decision between, well, do I go with the person who's been in this publication and maybe won a few awards, or do I go for a person at the same price point maybe who hasn't told me that they've had that kind of recognition from an external source? So it's very powerful in how we make decisions about who we work with and how we proceed with what we want to do.
Some amazing tips there. And I can't agree more that you should integrate PR outreach into what you're doing as a business owner on a day-by-day basis. For anyone listening, you can do it with what you're doing with your SEO backlink building strategy, or your kind of outreach that you're doing to other websites, like making PR part of that. And listening to what Michelle and Kristen have to say and looking up higher and aspiring to kind of big titles, because, you know, they've just said it very clearly, like anyone can do it and they can give you the confidence to help out with that. Guys, thank you so much for joining and just dropping so much value in this chat today. I'm really appreciative of your time, and I know everyone who's listening will absolutely love you guys. Can you let us know where we can find you online?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are right on time, and it's WRITA. So just to be clear, it's not the right traffic signal. It's right on time, UK.
Yeah, we are UK.
We are UK. So you can find us on Instagram. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and our website, rightontime.co.uk. And we are also, myself and Christian, very active on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
We've got an unusual surname spelling, which is EWEN. So it's Michelle Ewan and Christian Ewan. Send us a connection and we would really love to welcome you into
our world. Active on LinkedIn. So we don't have a Right on Time sort of joint thing on there, but you can find us, Michelle and Christian. So you can just connect with us on there. Ewan's quite a rare name. So EWEN, you'll no doubt find us pretty quickly if you do a search. Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Thank you so much. All right. Well, hello, I'm back. What did you think of that interview? It was great, wasn't it? I mean, if you don't feel pumped to try and find your story, your unique story in your business, or a way that you can contribute to, you know, conversations that are going on in your industry right now, I would be so surprised. I really, really want to try and find some PR for my own business as well. And just after talking with Michelle and Christian, I felt the need to give it a try. I'm so SEO. I've always been kind of, you know, that way inclined in terms of raising my profile online. But maybe, just maybe, you might see Vicky Jakes in a national newspaper one day. Who knows? And I'm really sorry I talked about myself. The third person then. Hey, look, I've just snuck back at the end of this episode as well to tell you about something that's happening in May 2021. I am, and maybe this is newsworthy, I don't know, but I'm writing 100 blog posts in 30 days. So I haven't written them up front. I'm literally this month, the month of May, going to be writing 100 useful posts and putting them on my blog to revisit my confirmed theory that blogging helps raise your profile online. And I did this last year. I did the 30 posts in 30 days challenge. I only managed 20. But I definitely saw an uplift in the traffic from search engines towards the end of that time. And I thought I may as well go ultra this time, go big, do it on steroids, right? So I'm aiming for 100 posts. I have no idea if I'm going to do this. But do check out last week's episode where I talk about this and head over to the blog, heyvickyjakes.com/blog, to start reading my output now. All right. Thanks so much again for listening. Subscribe if you really liked this episode. Leave a review if you really, really liked it. And obviously, go and do the work. I'll see you in next week's episode.